둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Unless there's a surprise guest.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire series. You'll get three new interviews sent to you every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to also give a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. That always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately, including the English Beat, Dave Wakeling of the English Beat. He was just here. Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam, Beth Ditto of Gossip, actor Skeet Ulrich, Maggie Lindemann, Guy Garvey of Elbow, comedian Martin Amini, actors Nathan Stewart Jarrett, George McKay, Rudy Mancuso, and Hamish Linklater, and Gary Clark Jr. getting us started in the month. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guests, brothers Kevin Bacon and Michael Bacon. Yes, that Kevin Bacon. He of Footloose fame, Tremors fame, Leave the World Behind, Hollow Man, Mystic River, just to name a few. He and his brother Michael, who's also a great film composer, who's done countless films, shows, and series with PBS. They got together, of course, in 1995 as the Bacon Brothers. They're now returning with their album called Ballad of the Brothers. And so we're going to talk about their generational upbringings in Philadelphia, how the differing periods that they grew up influenced their individual sounds, as well as being inspired by things like airport bars and tattoos for this latest set. Kevin also digs in on how his acting career lends itself to finding different voices for each song, how his online series Monday Blues pushes him to write more, and why he decided to cover Pat Benatar's We Belong. And as the disc dropped on April 19th, the same day as the new Taylor Swift and Pearl Jam albums, we're also told that'll be the brothers' use of autoharp that will nab them the top spot on the charts over the other two powerhouses. All that and more. We're talking Ballad of the Brothers. It's Kyle Meredith with Kevin Bacon and Michael Bacon, the Bacon Brothers.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to have you guys on here. And I should also point out, I'm here in Louisville, and you guys are going to be playing here later on this year, September 22nd at the Bourbon and Beyond Festival, behind this fantastic record. I've been a fan of you all for a very long time, following the musical sides of the careers. And I really don't want this to come across like, you know, because at this is the point in the interview, I'd say, oh, it's a great record. But there feels like there's a little bit of magic in this record, a little bit more than usual, something else going on here. And I do want to throw out the congratulations to you both, because this is such a great listen.
Good. Thank you.
Awesome. We'll take magic.
There is. I also want to point out, though, that I noticed that it's coming out, I believe, what, on the 19th, which is the same day that Taylor Swift and Pearl Jam are releasing their records.
Oh, that's fast for them. Ooh.
So I don't know if you think of them as competition, but I think you guys can pull it off anyway. It's
We're going to do our best.
There's room for everybody. There's room for everybody.
do at this point, after having done this for, well, nearly 30 years as this band, are there starting points to your records anymore? Does it happen like that?
Gosh, I would say no. I mean, I think it's kind of like this process of you write one and Mike writes one and then I write one and then we sort of turn around and we go, wait a second, there's enough tunes to, make a record now or call it a record. There's no kind of driving moment where we say, hey, time for a new, group of music. I mean, it's always just been driven by the songwriting.
The great songwriting, and I'm looking at the title track, which Michael, this is one you penned, right? Did I read that right?
Yeah.
Like you take the title track and even a song like The Dreams of San Joaquin, and looking back at the history, is there anything that you can pinpoint? Because being the Philadelphia guys, but you seem to have this really great attraction with, I'm gonna broadly say, cowboy culture and the West, and it at least arrives right here. Where does that come from?
Well, I think a lot of it for me, and I'm 9 years older, so the world in those 9 years, I've never said this before, I'm just fact checking myself before I say it. From you were born in
58.
58. Okay, so by the time I was really grown, we were almost into the 60s. So Kevin's experience as a listener was really, really different than mine. Our father was an architect, and we all six of us were brought up in this little 15-foot wide, what do you call it, row house in Philadelphia. And he made where we all lived in the upstairs had was looked like it was 1890. But on the first floor, he made this kind of loft thing with the kitchen way in the back, and then it went down to a lower level. Then there was a front door, and the kitchen had a soffit with an 18-inch Jensen woofer, subwoofer, and an Altec Lansing horn. And then halfway through to the front door, there were Marantz amplifiers, turntables, tuners. That was really all we had in those days. And then you went to sit down in the living room, and next to you was a control center for all of the. You could switch the source. You could do bass, treble, volume. So our first floor was really a gigantic mono speaker, and it was a beautiful, beautiful sound. And when I would go upstairs to the second floor and back to the undeveloped part of the house, the music that wafted up as I was falling asleep was is still my. It's such a gift to me because as a film composer, there is no writer's block. There is no, I don't feel like doing something, writing a song today. It's you got to be able to turn on the spigot and go. That's the way it is. If you can't do that, you won't succeed. So the things that they loved opera, they loved ballet, they loved classical music, they loved world music. Miriam Makeba. I was listening to African music and folk music. The Weavers, Pete Seeger. Then we had our older sisters started with the rock and roll. They were really Bobby Soxers, and with 48 RPM piled up this high. So the music that I grew up with was really, really eclectic. And I think by the time Kevin came, sorry to be speaking for you, bro, but by the time Kevin came along, first of all, I think my parents were kind of done. They'd already had five kids, and here's the sixth, and like whatever, you do what you do, and. I think that Kevin was a little less influenced by the ambience of our house and much more influenced by the city of Philadelphia that was all of a sudden exploding.
But especially, and like I said, and knowing, like I had, I lived off and on with grandparents through the years, and the way, that's what I was wondering, like Western culture especially was so prevalent in those households, even though we were not from the West. I mean, that was it to me. I think I knew it was a generational thing, but even hearing you talk about the composing side, like I can hear this like Morricone meets Marty Robbins, that sort of happens, you know, somewhere in the middle with that Texas swing.
I like that combination a lot.
And then you get, and like on the Dreams, I mean, I don't know who's duetting there because it's that classic Emmy Lou sound. Who are you all singing with there?
Well, let's see. Oh, it's Cindy Alexander, who's a friend of ours from California that has been opening for us and been a pal of ours for years. And I just love her voice. It's almost a little bit like Pink. It sort of almost has a classical operatic kind of feel to it. Her beautiful vibrato. So she did the vocals on that. And she also did the vocals on We Belong, which is the song Kevin said. And then there's our keyboard player is a bass. So he did the vocals and Kevin did one. And then our bass player did the other one.
And we'll be right back right after this.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with the Bacon Brothers. For the album to start off then on this complete rock and roll side, as you're kind of hinting at right there. I mean, take off this tattoo. I'd love to hear the impetus for this song right here because one, kick-ass way to start the record. But also I was thinking like, I don't think I've heard exactly that story before.
Yeah, I mean, so it kind of came, my son has a lot of ink and I think there was he didn't take one off, but he got it kind of reworked because because of, you know, just personal stuff, moving on from, you know, whatever you were doing when you wanted that tattoo. And, you know, not only was he sort of the inspiration for this song, he also produced it. And we didn't write it with him. We wrote it with some songwriters down in Nashville and basically, you know, went down and sat with them and said, what do you think about the idea of someone that has a regrettable tattoo? And, as I kind of tend to do, if I have a writing session, I at least try to come up with some, you know, kind of germ of a few different, you know, ideas. And generally Michael does and the writers do. And everybody kind of sparked to that. But the demo that was not really even a demo. When you write in that way, you know, you just basically are writing it on guitar. So the first version of that song was you know, pretty much of a country kind of sounding thing. We were in Nashville, and I think that, you know, of course, especially the way country is now, it could live as a country song with a completely different, you know, production. But we wanted to just give it, you know, a little bit of edge and a little bit of electronica, which is what Travis's kind of sweet spot. So put it in his hands, and he, you know, started building that track. And then we came up with the idea of, we have a friend that Michael might have mentioned who's a great fiddle player. And, you know, he can play sort of across a lot of genres, but he has a great rock feel. So we put that fiddle on and kind of said, both to him and to Tribe, you know, think of this like an electric guitar. Like think of the parts and the solos and stuff like an electric guitar played with a fiddle.
For you vocally, like, does that allow you to do something different vocal when you, genre, it's always kind of thrown out there when they talk to you all, when anybody talks to you all, because there's, you always touch, but do you get to try different vocal things when you get to switch around like that?
Yeah, definitely. And I enjoy doing that. You know, I mean, it's a, you know, I'm an actor and I'm a character actor. So like, I don't, you know, I, the voice of the character is always something that I have to find. I kind of feel that way a little bit with the singing, although it's a little bit elusive sometimes, but I've always liked, you know, singers who find a different place depending on, you know, what they happen to be, the song that they happen to be singing.
Something about that believability. Like, I believe that in the song, you know, heard in the voice. I'm kind of looking at the track list here. Airport Bar. I'm surprised there's not more songs written about airport. I mean, there's a lot of road songs, and I feel like that maybe falls into that.
Well, yeah, it's definitely a road song. You know, I don't know. I just, it's always been a fascinating place to me. You know, you walk by and people are delayed, and you know, you can either look at it as an oasis in a desert of travel, or you can look at it as the saddest place in the world, you know. But the song, part of the song is a little bit about, I mean, certainly about, you know, heartbreak and breaking up, being lonely and all those kinds of things. But there's also a verse that has to do with the fact that, you know, airport bars, people make connections with each other, you know, connections that they may never, ever, ever have again, you know. And so it was kind of an exploration of that.
Michael, you were saying a minute ago how, you know, coming at it from different spots, you and Kevin, especially your writing, like, what are you able to verbalize? Like, what is it? How do you write versus how he writes? And how do you know when it clicks?
A couple of things, just listening to Kevin. The first thing is, I can't sing that I'm aware of in any other voice than what I sing in. If I try to do that, it doesn't feel right to me. So and maybe I do push things a little, maybe I have a little more rasp, but I kind of feel like I'm stuck with myself at this point, for better or for worse. How our writing is, well, let me make some observations about Kevin's writing. Like, for instance, the airport bar, we were walking in an airport, and it was 9 o'clock, and there were a bunch of revelers who were clearly going to the Caribbean, and who are just having an absolute blast. And we noticed it. And I think the airport bar is the one place where most people who would never consider drinking alcohol before 6 o'clock couldn't care less what time it is. It's on. And a lot of Kevin's writing is, we, you know, we'll go through experiences. And then, you know, 6 months later, I hear how he processed the experience that we happened to share in that one day. So, I think that my songwriting output is much more tortured. I find it really frustratingly slow. Instrumentally, as I said before, I can just write, but songs, and to get a lyric. And I think it's really not so much writing a song, it's writing a song that you feel like you can play for people who paid a lot of money and went out to dinner to come to hear your show. And it's got to be worthy of that. And I think Kevin and I both feel that way. And we have our ways of assessing that, which start with our wives. And if that goes okay, then it's the next one is the band members who are, I would say with their accolades are few and far between. Let's put it that way. And then you learn the thing, and then it gets really exciting because then you have the input of all these people. It isn't just a pure song with lyric and guitar, and that's part of the arrangement. And I find the arrangement part of it really, really stimulating. And I love arranging vocals. I love putting cellos on stuff. And my latest favorite instrument is the auto harp. I think it's going to make a really big comeback. And I think that's going to knock Taylor Swift off number one.
Maybe we have some auto harp on the record.
Yeah, it's just a great instrument. Anyway, so I think we are, well, first of all, Kevin is very prolific, and I am not prolific. And I think that when the greatest compliment for me is, like, I have this one song called The Way We Love, and sometimes I'll play it and someone will shout out afterwards, "Wow, that's a beautiful song," or something like that. That's a person who, maybe they had too much to drink or whatever, but to make that kind of a statement in public.
It's a beautiful song, yeah. If you're drunk or not.
Okay, I'll take that. So that's, I mean, and I go back to my experience in Nashville, that's a town that reveres the song more than anything else. New York, it's the groove, it's the beat, it's the whatever, and LA is whatever that is. But the songwriting careers are still really happening in Nashville, even from when I went there in 1972. That it's really great to see that the song still exists without the arrangement.
And everybody just knows how to play so well at any given
I know.
any drop, any genre.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with the Bacon Brothers.
So arrangements, I'll bring up the cover on here, which you had mentioned earlier, because We Belong. What I loved about that immediately was how grounded you took the song. You know, Pat and Neil's original version, you know, it was big. It was, and you brought it down to this. It was so comfortable, you know, the way you all do that, how you grounded that. And I don't know why you picked that song in particular, but I love how it feels.
You know, I had this old demo of it that I had done in that with that arrangement. And I just always kind of loved that song. You know, I sent it to Mike and I mean, I had probably had sent it to him maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. And he said, yeah, you know, we should cut that. That's kind of cool. And so basically we, you know, essentially kind of did it like the demo, which is exactly what, you know, it's a very poppy song, and I just wanted it to feel just a little more just kind of basic rock, you know, bass, guitar, drums, vocals, you know what I mean? Just put it, as you said, just kind of grounded in a way.
But it's still not just that person. Like, you know, a lot of people do the cover and it's just the person, the acoustic, and here it is. Like there still feels like there's intelligent thought that went into it. I don't know if that's the right phrase.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's also a great lyric. I mean, it could be one of those pop song lyrics, but I was listening to it in the car, and it's some really interesting, you know, kind of strange takes on pop lyrics. And I think that helps us deliver the song, because we hope that our songs kind of do that as well.
Yeah.
It would also, of course, lead me to bring up the Monday Blues, which I love following, Kevin. You do on there. You know, maybe this is one of those obvious things. How often does what you're doing there, does that ever lead to a song directly?
You mean in terms of doing something on Monday Blues and then writing, or actually covering something?
No, I mean like writing, because a lot of times, oh, if I'm learning a song on guitar, that's, I'll do that.
Oh, hey, listen, yes, 100%. I often get, if I listen to a great song, something that I consider to be a great song, it really makes me want to write. I don't usually say I want to write something like that, but I just go, oh, I wish I wrote that song. Let me see if I can, you know, write something else, you know? So, yeah. And, you know, Monday Blues has sort of forced me to, you know, keep coming up with songs that I love. So it definitely has led to some writing.
Is there any method to how you pick those?
No, it was an idea just to have songs that were like kind of made me feel good. But there's been so many. It's gone on for so long. Well, first off, I ran out of vinyl, so then I went to went down to the basement and got CDs and a boombox, and now, you know, I just have to use a computer because I'm sort of out of it. I mean, I've run out of ideas, and then I've gone to like theme kind of stuff. And what I'm hoping to do is to start it sort of in reverse, where I'd like people to give me suggestions and then, you know, check out new stuff, you know, because, you know, I'm old and I want to hear new stuff.
It's such a simple idea for a series and has worked so well. Like, I've been watching, I look forward to those. I look forward to those, you know, and just like,
thank you.
Here's a great album. Here's some great songs. Like, that's a great, so simple. And there, right there it is for you. So
cool. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. I do hope you guys continue to do that. I really look forward to seeing this album live. I really mean that. And again, I know you guys are playing here September 22nd, Bourbon and Beyond. You've got a full tour leading up to that through the summer, it looks like. I enjoy listening to this record so much. Thank you both for taking the time to talk about it. It's really been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having us.
The album, and let's see if we can knock Taylor Swift off.
You got Taylor Swift and Pearl Jam, so I think you could do it. Because there's two of you. You know,
let's get them both. Right. Come on, let's do it.
Yeah.
My thanks to Kevin and Michael. The Bacon Brothers' new album, Ballad of the Brothers, is out now.
Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button while you're here to keep up with all the interviews that we put out every week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Again, please give a rating, leave a review while you're still there. Those always help out so much. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. I think my voice just cracked. 42 years old. WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Roseanne Cash, Bridget Bardot, Suzanne Vega, St. Vincent, Counting Crows, the DBs, Bruce Springsteen, Mavis Staples and Jeff Tweedy, Robert Randolph and the Family Band, Wilder Woods and the War on Treaty, Bob Mould, Madness, Peter Gabriel, Ben Folds, Lenny Kravitz, The Ramones, Living Color, The Black Keys, and my interview with Matt Healy of the 1975. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Thanks, Kyle. Take care.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.